Hey everyone, this is Jaron Hollis with The Believers Church. I'm so happy that you're here today. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. I pray that it inspires you, it challenges you, and it helps you grow in your relationship with God. Enjoy.
Good morning. Woo! How are y'all doing today? I see y'all dug your way here through 15 feet of snow uphill both ways. You made it. Everybody get their bread and milk before the storm hit. Good. What is up with Kentucky and bread and milk? I don't understand it. I never have. Oh, man. It's good to see you in the house today. Why don't you find somebody, pay them a compliment, look at somebody, a neighbor next to you. Turn around if you got to turn around. Say, you look good. Your hair looks good today. You did a good job on your eyebrows. I don't care. Whatever you got to find. Just make sure that it's genuine. Make sure that it is genuine. Well, Believers Church, why don't you make our guests feel welcome here in person and online? It really does matter to us that you are here with us today. It really, really does. So, I want to just say this. How many of y'all had a really good time? I'll start with the question. How many of y'all had a really good time during At the Movies? Anybody have a good time? I want to brag on you all a little bit for inviting your friends. Last week, we baptized 29 people at the end of second service. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. I love some of those noises that came out of y'all. We should get that excited about it, right? Why? Because we're looking to be the Walmart of churches. We're looking to get so big that we're just bigger than any other church. No, it's because every soul matters. Every single soul matters. Do you know that that means you matter? I'm going to pick some people real quick. I'm going to pick some people in the crowd. Who's got a happy face on today? I don't look at people that frown when I talk. If you look like you're asleep, I'm not looking at you while I preach because I'm going to take it personally and think it's about me. All right, Cindy, you got me over here. Anybody here ready to amen? All right, so let's do this real quick. It's a fun exercise. Let's see how this section. So do I have an amen section over here?
Amen!
Not bad. Not great. Do I have an amen section here in the middle?
Amen!
All right. Hey. I'm feeling that. How about over here?
Amen!
This side just sounds manly, and I like it. I don't know what it is. So I'm going to preach over here today. Y'all can go home. No, I'm just kidding. So how many of y'all have a good Thanksgiving? You have a good time? Everybody have a good time? Good. It is so good to be able to be up here, to be with you all, to preach. But before we get to the word, why don't we ask God to be involved? Right? It doesn't really matter if I've got some really brilliant thoughts that I ripped off from a TED Talk or whatever, right? It doesn't matter. If God isn't in it, we could just go home. If God isn't in our midst, in our gathering, moving through our lives and into our lives, we're just hanging out. So why don't we invite him here and now? You all ready? All right, let's lift our hands, lift our voices. God, we invite you into this place. We want you to touch the words that are spoken. We want you to amplify them. Remove anything from my mouth that doesn't belong there. We want you to be the one that speaks. We want your word, your truth to speak. I want to be a vessel that is willing to allow you to move through me. We want your truth to reign supreme, not so that we can feel good like we did a good job, but so that people can be touched, hearts can be moved, lives can be changed, people can be impacted, people can decide to begin to follow you, hearts that were once wounded and hurt can begin to be healed in this place, relationships that were broken with you long ago can be mended, and people can re-enter into relationship with you, people that were broken and hurt by the church can begin to be healed and re-enter into a relationship with the body of Christ as it should be. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Every single person matters. Every single person matters. Now, every single person might not matter to you, but every single person matters, right? How many of y'all know as a parent, like, I'm just going to be honest, like, I didn't really care about kids until I got kids. That's normal. And I don't still care about every kid, but I care about my kids, right? But that doesn't mean every person isn't important. So I went to Disney back in September. There are a lot of kids at Disney World. As parents, Haley and I, we upgrade our children. We make them technologically advanced. In other words, what that means is we hide AirTags in their clothes when we go to Disney, just in case somebody like snatches them. We can track them with our phone, and then I can beat up whoever took them. That's kind of the way. That's kind of the way that I look at it. But when we were at Disney, we were going through Hollywood Studios, something like that, and there was a mom that had lost her kid. Her kid's name was Hunter. Why? Do I know that? Because she was screaming it at the top of her lungs. She was running through the crowd. She was, Hunter! And she didn't look like she was angry. She had that like deer in the headlights look, like someone has taken my child and I don't know where my child is. And So my family, we stopped. Haley's sister is like a Disney expert, and she knew what you do. She said, there are probably 1,000 Hunters here. She grabbed the woman. She's like, what's your child wearing? Black hat, blue shirt. So she started going, Hunter, black hat, blue shirt. Hunter, black hat, blue shirt. Hunter. So we all started, Hunter, black hat, blue shirt. Hunter, black. And then like hundreds of people all around us at Disney World just knew what to do. Hunter, black hat, blue shirt. Hunter, black hat, blue shirt. And like in like 30 seconds, we found Hunter. It was like this kid that nobody knew or nobody cared about, 30 seconds ago, we found him. And when the mom got a hold of him, she was happy for about 0.5 seconds, and then she turned into mom. Where were you? Where did you go? Oh, man, that's the love of a mother. It was awesome. And the way that Hunter mattered to mom, did you know that you matter to God? That he wants to organize the 99 to say, Travis, great beanie, Blue Bass Pro Shop. It doesn't have the ring to it, I'm sorry. God cares about you. Don't you believe and know that every single one of us matter? That if that mom would have lost Hunter that day and never found him again, that she wouldn't have just gone home and said, well, we'll make another Hunter. Why? Because Hunter is irreplaceable. This is what I want to talk to you about today, that you are irreplaceable. To God, you matter. To God, you count. To God, you make a difference. He designed you. I just want you to think about this for a second. The Word of God says this, that 5 sparrows only cost 2 pennies. You're worth so much more to God. He knows the number of every single hair on your head, whether it's real hair or not real hair. He knows. Grab your hair. I don't care. If you don't got hair, grab your beard, grab your mustache, touch your eyebrow, whatever you got to do. Just touch it real quick. Just touch it. Just touch your hair. And realize that you don't know the number of that hair, but God does. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. That's how precious you are to him. You are irreplaceable to God. You are so important. And here's the thing. You matter to the church. You don't just matter to God, you matter to us. You matter to the body. Because if you're not here, guess what? You don't get to play your part. So, can we play a game real quick? I actually stole this game from a pastor. His name's Craig Groeschel, based out of Oklahoma, I think it is. I thought that this was fun, so we're just going to play a game real quick. You guys ready? So I'm going to put up an animal, and you're going to say what the animal is. You ready? This is like kindergarten stuff. I'm going to be real proud of you. You're going to do a good job. Are you guys ready? All right, let's go ahead with the first one. What is this? What do you see? Good. I was like, please don't say dog. Like, we're going to go somebody. We're going to. This is an elephant. Now, when it's grouped with other elephants, what's it called? Well, they, man, Luke, you did a good job, man. Herd, put it up there. All right. Next one, put up the next one. What do you see? A lion. Real simple. When they are grouped together, they are called a? Oh, my goodness. Y'all know the animal kingdom. They are called a pride. Now, this next one's going to be real tricky, so I need y'all to think real, real hard. Put up the next animal real quick. This is a cheetah, right? They're real fast, right? But what happens when you group them together? What are they called? No, they're not called Cheetos. They are not called Cheetos. Goodness gracious. Anybody, no? A league? No. This is weird. A coalition. Oh, did you get it? Oh, my goodness. Were you in the first service? Get out of here, Jessica. I don't know. A coalition, right? Next one, a donkey, right? When you put a bunch of donkeys together, what do you get? Careful, right? Right, careful. No, it's called a pace. Really interesting. When you put this next, what is this? This is a crow, right? What do you do? Did you say a murder? That's true. They're called a murder. This is my favorite one. I just put this in here for giggles. So, a goose. Travis, good job. They are called a gaggle when you put them together. Interestingly enough, fun animal fact, when you put them all together, when they're on the ground, they're called a gaggle. When they're in the air, they're called something else altogether. But what do you call a person that follows Jesus? Okay, Christian. Disciple, apostle, a follower of Christ, right? We have a lot of different names, right? We have a lot of different titles. But when you put us together, what are we called? The body of Christ, the church, right? We are a body fitly framed together. The problem is we don't always fit together very well, do we? We don't always get along, but watch this. 1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13 says this. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews. Some of us are Gentiles. If you don't know what that means, Gentile is basically the way of saying everyone else that is not a Jew. Some are Jews. Some are Gentiles. Some are slaves, some are free. Some are Republican. Some are Democrats. Some are black. Some are white. Some are brown. Some are yellow. Some are clear like me. We're all different, right? But we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. And we're all supposed to play our part, aren't we? But it seems like in our society nowadays, we are overemphasizing being apart from one another instead of being a part of one another. There's a lot of division going around, right? You can feel the air just get sucked out of the room when I say the word Republican or I say the word Democrat. Everybody goes, oh! And they go, well, I can't go to church with that person. Why not? They voted for the orange man. Or that person, I can't talk to them anymore. Why? Because they voted for lying Kamala. We get in our camps and our tribes. I can't go over there and be close to those people. Why? Because they look different than me. They act differently than me. They didn't grow up the way I grew up. So we have to stay separate. But the Word of God calls us to be together. And if we aren't fitly framed together, we are no longer the body. And that's what the world is doing. It's making money off of taking you, putting you in a tribe or a camp, getting your attention, making you angry, making you stay isolated, and making you hate your brother and sister in Christ because of a political affiliation. How can we ever hope to be an active, living body of Jesus Christ if we won't love our neighbor as ourselves? We think it's so cool to be alone or apart. Right? How many of y'all know we have a high value in America on individuality? We really do. All of us walk around, we think we're the Lone Ranger. Pew! And it's like you realize the Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? Like he couldn't do it alone. You don't think for a second that we need each other more than we've ever needed each other. And the problem is we're being programmed to shut out each other over the smallest things. And we are programmed to get so angry at each other over things we would never say to each other face to face. Whoo, got a lot of keyboard warriors, don't we? We love it. We love kind of separating ourselves from each other, separating ourselves from the body. Could you imagine walking around? I am the eyeball of Jesus Christ. I see everything that's wrong with the world and wrong with your church. It's so wrong, I'll never come to your church. I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church to have a relationship with God, but you do have to be attached to his body, which he calls you to do. I am the ear of Christ, and I hear all the gossip. No, I'm just kidding. I hear everything that God says. God spoke a word to me. It's too bad that you're not connected to the rest of the body to get that message to the feet so that we can get going to where we need to get going. Y'all prickly this morning. Y'all are like, it's cold outside. You might be apart from the body, but you're more valuable when you're a part of the body. Right? You are so much more effective when you are attached. 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 17 says this. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? This is super simple, but every part of the body matters. Look at your neighbor and tell them, every part of the body matters. Come on, engage with them. Say, every part of the body matters. And like, so anybody remember this really, really small thing happened a couple years ago called COVID? How many of you all were labeled non-essential workers? Anybody here lose your job? You had to go home. You had to stop doing what you're doing. Anybody here? I know a lot of people here. It kind of messes with you, right? It messes with society. When somebody shows up and says, hey, Greg, you've been doing a great job, but we can't have you anymore. I know you had a pension, but we're going to have to lay you off because you are non-essential. Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a non-essential part of the body of Christ. Every single part of the body matters. I don't care who you are. If you are the hands of Christ, that means you have work to do. If you have if you're the feet of Christ, you have somewhere that you need to take the body. If you are the mouth of Christ, you are called to encourage. If you are the heart of the body, that means you are here to care for those that need care, that need love, that need compassion. Every part of the body matters, every single part. And no matter what part you play, you are irreplaceable. The enemy says that you're not important. You ever been made to feel not important? Every single thing that the enemy wants to do is this. It's to lie, to kill your spirit, to steal your identity, to rob you of your true purpose and design. To make you believe that you do not matter. To make you believe that you don't count. But you do. And some of y'all need to get bold. You ever gotten bold with your faith? Anybody here ever gotten bold with the devil? Anybody ever just got mad? Got a little sassy, looked crazy in your house. The devil repeating things in your mind that maybe somebody spoke to you a long time ago, reminding you of something that isn't true. Y'all just need to get bold with your faith and tell the enemy, no! You're a loser. No! You're good for nothing. No! You don't matter at your church. Your spouse doesn't love you. No! I am a child of the living God. Jesus Christ died for me. He filled me with His Holy Spirit on purpose, for a purpose, knitted me together in my mother's womb, and He has a part for me to play in the body of Christ. Devil, you can shut your mouth. Come on, some of y'all need to learn how to be bold. Woo, come on. Every part of the body matters. Say it like you mean it. Every part of the body matters. Every part of the body matters. Woo. And I know, we get positional about things. We like to say certain people are more important because of their position and certain people are less important because of their position. Let's be honest, right? The ear doesn't get a lot of attention publicly. The eye gets a lot of attention. You think about it. That famous song, it's not the ear of the tiger. The hills don't have ears, right? So simple. Simple sayings, you are the apple of my eye, right? The eyes are the window to the soul. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I've got stars in my eyes. Nobody says you got bedroom ears. That's real weird, right? That'd be super weird. Listen, ears could easily say I'm not that important. But how would we hear? How would we understand? A lot of you say, oh, I'm not important. I'm not important because I'm not a manager on my job. I've been waiting for that position. I'm not important because, I don't know, I'm not the alpha male in my family. Not yet. Some of y'all are the only male in your family, and you're still not the alpha male in your family. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't have a solo on the praise team, so I don't matter. I'm not Pastor Jaron. I'm not Pastor Randy. I don't have a place on the stage in the church, so I don't matter in the church. Can you throw out that stinking thinking? Every single part of the body matters. Don't forget this. This is so important. Oh, man, this is good. Your value comes from your purpose, not your position. Your value comes from your purpose, not your position. Oh, man. So simple. 1 Corinthians 12:22 says this. In fact, some parts of the body, there are some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important. The ones that seem weakest and actually least important are actually the most necessary. this is going to seem really, really silly. How many of y'all had a good Thanksgiving? Or maybe, like, let's just be honest. Who here likes to eat? Who here was looking forward to having that thing that you were looking forward to having on Thanksgiving? Man, I feel great right now. I had way too much pie. I like pumpkin pie. Pumpkin pie for me is an excuse to have whipped cream. That's the way that I feel about it. But if I would have gone to Thanksgiving dinner and my mandible decided not to show up, what is a mandible? That's your jaw. So that's the bone right here that has all these lower teeth. If you showed up to Thanksgiving dinner and your mandible was like, I'm out, I don't want to show up today, you would have been one cranky camper because you couldn't eat. And we don't give the uvula a lot of praise. It doesn't get enough credit. People are like, the uvula? See? It's that little dangly punching bag in the back of your throat. This is really funny. So, over a lifetime, the uvula produces enough saliva to fill two swimming pools. Cool fact, right? But if you would have shown up, right, and your uvula quit on Thanksgiving morning, and you didn't have any saliva to help that food go down, you would have really recognized just how important that uvula is. It's so simple. When it comes to the hand, right? You got your thumb. It allows you to get a grip on things. It's very important. You have your index finger, which allows you to cast the blame on it. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. You know, the middle finger gets way too much attention. The ring finger, right? The ring finger has the wedding band on it. And the pinky went wee, wee, wee all the way home, right? We don't give it a lot of attention. But I'm going to do the thing that I like it really. You don't really see the pinky a lot unless you're a maniacal villain, right? But I want you to do something with me really quickly. Hold your pinky up. Hold it up. Okay? I love this experiment. I've done it here so many times. I really want you to play along because this is going to be interesting, maybe for you. Yeah, I think it's interesting for me. Hold it up. But while you keep it held up, I want you to squeeze your fist as hard as you can. But don't let that pinky come down. Don't let that pinky come down. Squeeze, come on. You weak little thing, you. Can you feel how wimpy you are right now? Like you can't do anything. Now, I want you to take your pinky and I want you to put it down and I want you to squeeze hard. You feel the difference, right? That pinky makes up over 50% of your hand strength. It's crazy, but it doesn't get a lot of love. It doesn't get a lot of attention. But just because of its position doesn't mean it's not important. Right? Your importance and your value come from your purpose, not your position. So simple. Just because you might be less visible doesn't mean you're less valuable. Right? You might want to take a picture of that one. Just because you are less visible doesn't mean you are less valuable. Less visible doesn't mean less visible. Really simple. We got prayer warriors that show up to this church every single Sunday. They show up and they pray for this service. They pray for you. They pray for your needs. They pray for the church. They pray for the worship team. They pray for the tech team. They pray for people that may or may not even come to this church that are leaving us requests online. And none of it gets seen. But that doesn't make their prayers any less valuable. I'm telling you what, like I could preach a real stinker of a message. But if you were greeted when you came here today and somebody made you feel loved and someone made you feel important, chances are you'd probably come back. But if I preached the greatest message you've ever heard and the worship team sang flawlessly and every note was perfect, but nobody looked your way and nobody cared for you, you'd probably never come back. Why? Because the greeting team here at Believers Church really matters. They really do. I'm telling you what, they're like I've had some people come up to me in the last couple of years and they say, yeah, that message was really good, but you know somebody that made me feel really special? Who? That Heather Mitchell. She asked me so many questions about my life. She asked me who I was, where I was from, when the last time I went to the dentist was. She wanted to know every single thing about me. And I felt so important. And yeah, your message wasn't too bad. And I'm okay with that. Every single part of the body matters. Years ago, I looked out the window of this office over here. And there's a guy by the name of George Young that comes to this church. I love George. We had a summer bash out in the parking lot. And there were wrappers and all sorts of trash and Coke cans and all sorts of stuff all over the parking lot. And it was just out there. We tried to clean up, but we didn't do a great job. And early in the morning, before anybody came to work at the church that following Monday, I looked out and I saw George. He pulled up in his truck, got out of his truck with a bag, and walked around. He's like, what, over 70? Got up, walked around the parking lot, picked one item up after another, cleaned the parking lot up, put the trash bag in the trash can, got in his truck, drove off, didn't tell a soul, but I knew. Guy by the name of John Rice. John, I love you. Look at he's a giant, ladies and gentlemen. He's an absolute giant. He takes care of the heating and the AC without almost any recognition. He's kept the boilers going when they were old and crusty. He keeps our, we've got to get a new air conditioning unit. It's really bad. But John has got some bubble gum and a couple of Band-Aids downstairs, and we all get to stay cooled off because he keeps showing up, and he keeps playing his part, and he keeps doing his thing. The multimedia team. Y'all wouldn't know any of our worship songs if we didn't have these screens. But there is somebody, often a lady by the name Lisa or Amy, and they're down there and they are clicking through those slides, making sure that you all can sing along. And let's be honest, if they weren't doing that, our worship team probably wouldn't know the words either. That's what that secret thing on the back wall is. That clock, it turns into lyrics if you didn't know that. They are the unsung heroes. They are like the Believer's Church ninjas, y'all. Every single Sunday, without fail, we've got a couple guys and gals that come in and they bring chairs into the back for the second service, and then they will clean the chairs up because we have to make room for more people in the second service. So they'll clean the chairs up. So you've got James, who's normally here early, and he'll make sure that they are put out. And then, without fail, Luke, almost every single week, gets them, puts them together, puts them up, stacks them, shoves them into that closet, comes and gives me a high five, and lets me know that it's done. Every single part of the body matters, whether it is seen or unseen. Just because you're less visible doesn't mean you're less valuable. Just because you're not on a stage holding a microphone doesn't mean that your part in the body doesn't matter. It's hard to recognize that in a world that celebrates celebrity and fame and position and authority. We really like turning people into idols that we can worship. And sometimes we want to get in those positions so that we can be worshiped. But can I just tell you that? It's not about that. Life isn't about a position. It's about purpose. It's about fulfilling a calling, finding meaning in that purpose. So simple. I'll tell you a quick story, and then I'll probably close early, y'all. I think I'm feeling pretty anointed today. I'm going really fast. I want to tell you about a woman in this church that's gone here for years. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, Danielle. That's your mama. Danielle's mom, Frances. I love Frances Gray. I didn't always love Frances Gray. Why? I used to be homeschooled, and when I was younger, we started a small school in the basement of this church, and I liked doing my schoolwork at home. I was the smartest kid in the class at that point in time, but I came here and I started doing work and I felt challenged and I didn't feel like I was up to the task and I was always talking down to myself. I was always causing Francis a lot of trouble. I think of myself as I was a good kid until I met Francis, and then I was not a good kid. You should just never go to her and ask her to tell you stories about me and what I did. It was pretty crazy, but I felt really down about myself. One day I went into my brother's room and I noticed he had like all these trophies lined up in his room. And I was like, what are all those trophies? He's like, oh, those are the trophies that you get when you do good in school. And I was like, I didn't even know there were trophies. I might have tried harder if I knew there were trophies. So I felt super down about that. I felt super bad. And I said, you know what? I told Francis one day, I just said, I'm not even going to try anymore. She said, well, you can't give up. You have to know Francis. She said, you can't give up. And I'm like, well, I feel stupid. I feel useless. I'm not smart. I can't do this. If you ever want to make Francis mad, just say those words. Say, I can't do it. She said, don't you ever. I can still smell the coffee on her breath. Don't you ever. Don't you ever let me hear those words come out of your mouth again. And I'm like, what, that I can't do it? She snatched me up. She said, come with me. She took me out into the hallway, and I was like, this is it. This is where I die. This is the end. Killed by Francis Gray in the basement of the church. She said, here's what we're going to do. You and I are going to run down this hallway as fast as we can, and you're going to see if you can't beat me in a race. And I was like, oh, all right, I can do this, old lady. So she said, on the count of three, she counted to three, and we ran as fast as we could. She didn't beat me. I'm thankful to say I beat her by the skin of my teeth. And she said, see, there's something you can do. And if you put in the effort with your school, the way you put in the effort to beat me in that race, I know that you can. And that woman taught me over the years that God had a purpose for me. And because of her, I love to read now. I still read slow, but I love to read. But if I didn't tell you that story, you'd never know the difference that Francis made in my life. She worked a thankless job with a spoiled brat that made her life miserable in class. But she poured her life into me. And you would never know. But just because she was less visible doesn't mean she's less valuable. Oh. There's some of you in this room, and you feel unseen. You feel forgotten. You feel overlooked. Maybe you feel like you have bought into the lie that someone spoke over you when you were little. someone said something to you that hurt you. Or maybe they didn't say anything at all and they never gave you the time of day and it made you feel like you weren't worth anything. Can I just say you're worth so much to God? He knows the number of every hair on your head. And because you are worth everything to God, you are irreplaceable to God. You are worth everything to us here at Believers Church. You have a purpose. You have a calling. You have a design. He made you. He intricately wove you together. You have a purpose, but if you are out there and alone and deactivated, it's time to come and get close to the body and come alive again so that you can fulfill your purpose. There's only so much you can do with your life when you are alone. This is where the world wants you. This is where the enemy wants you. They want you isolated and broken down and unbelieving and alone and ineffective. First Corinthians 12:27 says this, all of you together. It's simple. All of you. What? Apart? No. Together are Christ's body. I can have a relationship with God. But yeah, but wow. You can't be a part of the body of Christ unless you're with other Christians, working, seeking unity in all things. Like, listen, we've got to grow up. I don't care who you voted for. It's not going to change the way I love you. Somebody's like, heresy! I don't know about you, but Jesus has a very different definition of neighbor. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what that means here in America? That means the person that lives in the house right next to you. But that other house that's just beyond their house, that's not your neighbor. Your neighbor is this person that's right here next to you, right? How does Jesus define neighbor? He tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Anybody remember this story? A man, Jewish man, beaten in the road, left for dead. All these holy people pass by, and they go to the other side of the road. But then who comes by? A Samaritan. What a lot of us can miss in that story is something very simple. Jews and Samaritans didn't mix, right? Jewish people saw Samaritans as unholy, less than, unimportant. So Jesus says, who are our neighbors? The people that we wouldn't be caught dead with. The people that you wouldn't pick up out of a ditch because they voted for someone different. Jesus says, that's your neighbor. Those are the people that you're called to love, to be near, to be close with, to love. Every single part of the body matters. All of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. But Jaron, you don't know my past. I don't care about your past. Why? It's under the blood. He didn't just forgive my sins. He didn't just selectively say, that one's good, that one's good, that one's good, that pass, that one's good, that one's good. No. He paid for how many people's sins? Everyone's sins. You don't know my past. Guess what? I'm not perfect either. There are so many people in this church that have struggled with alcoholism, broken marriages, divorces, nicotine addiction, substance abuse, alcoholism. People have done some crazy things in this church. Can I just tell you something? This is not a perfect church, and we never will pretend to be a perfect church. We are people that are broken, that are following a perfect God and trying to learn to be more like Him every single day. But you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Your past does not disqualify you. It prepares you. So you might say, well, if you knew what I did, I stumbled, I fell, I messed up. Listen, if you've ever tripped and fallen, did you get up and say, well, that was your one chance, foot. Now I have to cut you off from the body. No, that's insanity. Anytime you make a mistake, anytime you slip, anytime you trip, anytime you sin, anytime you do something wrong, we are being programmed to cut ourselves off from the body and disqualify ourselves and go live in isolation. That might be what the culture calls you to because they want to cancel you, but that is not what Jesus Christ calls you to. Jesus Christ doesn't cancel you. He redeems you. He forgives you. He fills you with His Holy Spirit, and He sets a purpose on your life. So stop disqualifying yourself. Your past doesn't disqualify you. It prepares you. Whew. Stop trying to cut yourself off from the body. Stop telling yourself that you don't matter. Stop speaking something over your life that God isn't speaking over you. I don't care what your mom said. I don't care what your dad said. Stop repeating that garbage. Why don't you crack open the Word of God and start speaking His promises over your life instead of your uninformed parent, your uninformed sibling, your uninformed boss, your uninformed grandparent? Stop rehearsing that false reality over your life. You're never going to find joy there. You're never going to find peace there. You're never going to find love there. You're never going to find purpose there. And you're never going to get connected to the body of Christ if God is saying, man, I really need a hand to work the way I always meant for it to work. But you're saying, I'm broken and I don't work. And He's saying, you look good to me. I covered you in my blood. I forgave you. I'm willingly connecting you. Stay connected. Get connected. Every part of the body matters. Just because you fail, don't cut yourself off. So simple. Why? Because we are so much more effective when we're together. Why am I saying this? Okay, how do I say this nicely? We had 29 people get baptized last Sunday. It's great, right? We were talking in Believers University, weren't we? Having a good conversation this last Tuesday. And we said, well, actually, a few people spoke up and said, I've been to churches where they baptize you. And then you come out of the water and you expect all of your problems in life to go away. And then they don't all go away. And for years, I would go to church And I would think that I was broken, that I was messed up, that God didn't want me because I got baptized and I didn't know what to do next. So as a church, what are we going to help people understand? I said, man, for 2025, we really need to work on discipleship. And what if some of those people, those 29 people, come to Believers Church and they're here for a couple weeks and no one connects with them? Nobody sees them. Nobody asks them questions. Nobody values them. What happens to that part of the body then? I said, well, I guess they'll do what a lot of people do, which is fall off. And we can't let that happen, can we, Believers Church? We can't let that happen. So 2025, what are we going to do? We're going to focus on a couple things, but two things that we're going to focus on. Community, real community. How many of y'all know we got to get off Facebook? We got to get off Instagram. We got to get off of YouTube. We got to stop living our lives watching other people live through our phones. And we've got to connect. So we're making plans. How can we get more connected? How can we get better at small groups? How can we have more fall, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter gatherings where we just get to know each other? And then once we get to know each other, we create incredibly intentional pathways of discipleship for every single part of the body to get involved so that we can each learn what God's word says about who we are and what we're called to. Because if we have nearly 700 people in attendance like we did last Sunday and we baptize 29 people and we go, woohoo! And we don't care about each other. And we don't connect with one another. And we don't disciple one another and help each other grow to become more like Christ. Why are we here? I'll tell you why we're here. We're here to be the body of Christ. And every single part of the body of Christ, every part of the body of Christ is irreplaceable. If you don't show up next week, it's not the same. If you don't play your part, it's not the same. You've got a unique gift, a unique calling. I want to see this church be alive, full of people that are living their God-given dreams, chasing after them. I want us to be the craziest, weirdest, non-traditional church on the face of the planet, where we have artists, we have mathematicians, we have electrical engineers, we have people that are going, like, what? Okay, cool. We have almost 700 people on a Sunday. What could we do if we were a church of 1,000 people that were all activated, living out our purpose? Right? How many of y'all, every once in a while we have a guy come and play bass here. His name's Aaron Branch. He's an awesome guy. Anybody heard of Building 429? Cool. It's a cool band. Well, he plays bass for him, but he'll come and he'll hang out. You know his other secret superpower? He helps lead FCA in Louisville, Kentucky. So he comes and he plays bass, but we partner with FCA. And he's talking to me and I'm talking to him. And he's like, Jaron, what could we do if churches would activate and we got people from churches like yours, Believers Church, and people could go and be character coaches on football teams, baseball teams, soccer teams, in every high school and middle school in Louisville, Kentucky, and in Mount Washington? What could we do, Jaron? Well, I think we could make a difference. What could we do to the abortion rate if a church of 1,000 would adopt 10 kids every year? What do you think a church, what do you think we would do? Or are we just stuck in Christian consumerism? Just coming in, having a good meal,
going, I played my favorite worship song today. That topped me off. That message was just for me, Pastor. I'm all for it. I'm all for us getting what we need. But a huge part of what we do here at the Believer's Church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And ministry means service, which means you need to be activated and connected to the body to make a difference in your city. What could we do as a church of 1,000 that were fully alive? Who wants to be activated in 2025? I know we're not to Christmas yet, but who wants to actually discover their purpose and make it stand? Come on, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come forward. If you want to be activated, we're gonna pray with each other. We're gonna lay hands on one another. If that makes you uncomfortable, you can stay right where you are. This isn't about making people feel guilty or ashamed, right? Here's one thing that I want you to do, okay? If you're new here and you want to connect, we have something that we call Growth Track. It lets you get to know us. It's 2 weeks. Today is step one. There is not a better Sunday to go through Growth Track. It lets you know who we are. We get to know who you are. You get to know what we're about. But really, it's an opportunity for us to get to know you, what your passions are, what your skills are, what you want to do with your life. And we want to connect so that we can partner with you so we can make a difference together. But here's what you've got to do. We've got to start realizing that the person right next to us is so valuable. So valuable. Brent, this is my buddy Brent. I love Brent. This guy knows how to repair a pinball machine like nobody's business. Works at Humana. But the guy donated the pinball machine that we have back in the youth area. And that matters. It might not be seen, but it matters. Brent, you're valuable. Look at the person next to you. Come on, find it. Put your hand on their shoulder, take them by the hand and say, you matter to God. You matter to God. You matter to God. Come on, the other person next to you and say, and you kind of also matter. No, I'm just kidding. Say, you matter to God. You matter to God. Now, I think I'm in a room full of people that want to make a difference for Jesus. Can we make that our prayer today? You are essential. Luke, I know you're going to go stack the chairs once this is done. Every single one of us matter. But we have to be intentional about what we do as a church, in seeing the value in other people, in loving other people. So why don't we put our hands on each other, raise our hands towards one another, and begin to pray. God, help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to see our value, to know that we are irreplaceable. We are valuable, one, because of who you are. You made us, so that makes us intrinsically valuable. It makes us inherently valuable. We cannot strip that value away. But we're also valuable when we decide to partner with God and partner with His body and become alive. So God, help us to become activated and connected in a way that we never have in this coming year, throughout this holiday season. Let us wake up to what we are supposed to do and who we are supposed to be. Let us stop speaking and declaring the lies of the enemy that we are broken. We are not broken. We are forgiven. We are healed. We are made whole. And we will make a difference for Jesus Christ in 2025 in a way that we never have. Jesus, we're done with consumer Christianity. We want you. We want your kingdom. We want to do what you have called us to do. We're not just seeking comfort. We're seeking kingdom change. We're seeking kingdom change. But we cannot do it without you, God. And we cannot do it without your body.
As a church, we refuse, from this point forward, we refuse to believe that we can do it alone. It's not what you put in your word, and it's not what you called us to. You call us to bind together. So if there is anybody in this room right now that says, I can't do it, there's too much hurt, there's too much pain, I call for the healing of God, the healing salve of God to come over you right now. This can be your church. We can be your people. This can be a place where you find healing, where you become reactivated, where you find the deepest meaning and the deepest purpose and the deepest fulfillment in the name of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done or what someone has done to you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and you are irreplaceable. I declare it over your life. I speak His truth over your life. Let every part of this body become alive and active and animated by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Why don't you give Him a hand clap of praise as Pastor Randy comes.